Have you ever thought to yourself, how did that person get to be so wise or so patient or so kind or so generous? Well, I've got an educated guess that it just didn't happen overnight. Well, today we're going to talk about sacred rhythms, God's plan to help us become all that we long to be. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip begins a new series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle that Makes Room for God. Now, if you've ever wondered what gives certain Christians the grounding and stability to withstand even the stiffest storms, this series will answer those questions. Sacred rhythms are the spiritual practices that keep our hearts close to God and give us the ability to be at peace, no matter what. Well, here's Chip with his first message, the practice of sacred rhythms.
Everybody in this room has what I would call rhythms. Just in your own mind right now, think about when you get up, what you do when you get up. Your path, where you go to work. Some of you work out, some don't. Some check the Wall Street Journal, some get up immediately and look at your phone. Some do certain things on Friday nights, different things on Wednesday nights. Part of many of your rhythm is you come here on Sunday morning. Most of you come at 9:30. Others have a different rhythm at 11. What you think, what you watch, what your favorite shows are, the path to work, what you do when you turn on either the radio or play your phone in the car, every aspect of your life is your rhythm, your ways, your habits. What you currently do is producing the person sitting in your seat. It's what you think, it's where you've been, it's how you have arranged your life. Some of you very intentionally have arranged your life. Others are kind of responding to all the stuff happening around you. And so what we're going to talk about is sacred rhythms. Sacred rhythms are a specific way to arrange your life to cultivate a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus. So you're going to arrange your life, everything from what you read, what you think about, what you do when, and why you do it, you arrange your life in a very specific way to have a very personal, intimate relationship with Christ. The goal of sacred rhythms is literally these spiritual practices is what I would call true spirituality. You know, so often there's all kind of spirituality, but the scripture would say that true spirituality is nothing more than the life of Christ. It's the life of Christ reproduced in a believer. True spirituality is the life of Christ reproduced in the life of a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. True spirituality is the life of Christ reproduced in the life of a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit as you cooperate and respond to his word in faith and obedience. And so it's not about reading the Bible more, praying more, being more moral, doing all kind of certain things to somehow earn God's favor. It's eternal life. It's letting his life get reproduced in you. And here's something that's been very helpful to me. The number one agenda that God has for you, more than your happiness, more than a successful marriage or great singleness or business success, his number one agenda is to make you like his son. Every up, every down, every relationship, every circumstance, God is sovereignly orchestrating to get your attention, to draw you to himself, and to little by little by little make you more and more like Jesus so that in your thoughts, your word, your deed, and your motives, you would literally ride in your car or drive your car and go to work the way Jesus would if he was driving in your car. You would spend your money and treat people who treat you badly the way Jesus would if he lived inside your body. You would do everything every day where Jesus living out through your personality so that you are, in fact, the light of the world. And the question is, how does that happen? How in the world does the Spirit of God take normal, regular people like us and over time produce progressively, little by little by little, the life of Christ in us. And part of that is these sacred rhythms. And so we do that. I want to ask you to open to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, we get a picture of what you have to understand about sacred rhythms, because apparently it's real easy to make them an end instead of a means. People for centuries have figured out how to make prayer the end, or God's word the end, or fasting the end, or a pilgrimage the end, or praying many times a day. And what I want you to do is look at the end of chapter 3, because there's a context. And I'm going to go over this passage rather quickly, but what I want you to get is the overarching principles, because we have to get this before we talk about sacred rhythms. And then I'll just tell you my personal experience of the rhythms that have helped me the most, that God has used to change my life. The context picks it up in Mark chapter 3, verses 31. Jesus is doing amazing ministry. He's healed a leper. Crowds are coming. His parents, his mother and brothers are thinking he possibly might be going insane. I mean, they can't even get to him. And so someone comes and says, by the way, your mom and your family, is they're here. The text says a little bit earlier that it was so overwhelming ministry, he didn't even have time to eat. And we pick it up. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Notice what Jesus says. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him. Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus is saying, what does it take to have family resemblance? What's it mean to be connected to him? And at the core, what he says, those who do my will, those are my true mothers and brothers and sisters. And then it's interesting, the next section, he's going to answer the question that you should be asking. Well, how do you qualify to be in his family? I mean, how do you have that kind of intimate relationship? If you have a Bible, open it up and follow along. And if you have a phone, it's okay. Can I tell you something about sacred rhythms? Your phone is okay, but you will never grasp the scriptures reading the Bible with your phone. It's not that your phone is bad. The problem is there's a context. You can't see the structure of what's happened 15 verses back and 20 verses ahead and the structure on your phone. So, are you ready? Question. How in the world do you become close and intimate with Jesus? On another occasion, chapter 4, Jesus began to teach by a lake. And the crowd that gathered there was so large that he got into a boat and he sat out on the lake while all the other people were along the shore. He taught them many parables in his teachings. He said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Others fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they didn't bear any grain. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Can you imagine? That's his message. That's the sermon. Whoa. Okay. I mean, he's done these miracles, and we've all come, thousands of people are here, and he tells a story about a farmer and seed, and it falls on four different paths, and three of the four paths, nothing happens, and on one path, it does. He who has ears to hear is, do you really get, you need to respond to what I just said. What's really encouraging about this is his closest followers had no clue what he was talking about. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Then he said, you might underline this or highlight it on your phone. The secret, not a secret, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The secret. You want to understand how the king and the world lives according to God's economy? That story that I just told is revealed to you. But those outside, everything is in parables. so that ever seeing, they may never perceive, and ever hearing, they never understand. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. When Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" Now get this. Ponder this. He told lots of parables. I probably read this passage 10 years and didn't catch this. If you don't understand this parable, you cannot understand any other parable of Jesus. He said, "This is the secret of the kingdom of God." Well, then we better get the explanation. Let's follow. What was he really saying? The farmer sows the seed of the word. Some people are like those along the path, and where the seed of God's word is sown, they hear it, and Satan comes and takes it away of the very word that was sown in them. Others are like the seed sown on the rocky place. They hear the word, the truth, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others are like the seed sown among the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things come in and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others are like the seed sown on good soil, and they hear the word and they accept it. And Luke in the parallel passage says, with a good and honest heart, they put it into practice. And it produces a crop, 30, 60, or even 100-fold what was sown. You notice you have a blank sheet where you can take some notes. If I was taking notes, I would write this down. Your response to the word will determine your relationship with the Lord, period. Your response to God's word will determine your relationship to the Lord. Now, this is true salvifically. It's true about responding to receive God's forgiveness, but this is the secret of the kingdom. This is how the word is God's truth. It's not just his truth about how you have a relationship with God. This is a truth about transformation. Every single day, every time I open up the scriptures, every time you hear the scriptures taught, every time you hear a song that has passages in it, the word of God is going forth. And the word of God never fails to accomplish all God sends it to do. But the seed, there's life in the seed. 100% of the time, seed in good soil produces everything God wants it to produce. The only variable in all of the stories is what? It's the soil. And the soil is your heart and my heart. If you have a hard heart, I don't want to hear about what God is saying to me. The enemy's coming in, pulls it away. Or maybe you're zealous and, oh, that sounds so exciting, but you get all revved up about it and then you don't follow through. Or you hear it and you start to grow, and then pretty soon you're distracted by many things. The worries of relationship, the worries of child, the worries of finances, the deceitfulness of riches, the, wow, every time I get focused, then my phone goes off and I got to check my Facebook and someone did this on Instagram and they slacked me over here. And all the bombarding of your mind. And then there's some who receive the word and they take it into your heart, and you realize God is speaking to me, and he's telling me that he's good and that I can trust him and I can believe him. And that means I can go to my supervisor and I can tell him or tell her that what happened the other day I thought was unfair and unjust, and I realize it may get me in trouble, but I have to defend an employee or someone on my team, and I'm going to say it winsomely and lovingly, but I'm going to respond. Or the word speaks to me and says, that which you're putting in your mind is drawing you away from me, and I want you to stop putting that in your mind so I can draw you close to myself. And you say, oh, but it's so hard. And then you take the secret out and you get it into the light, and like bacteria, the light begins to evaporate that. And then you get some friends around you, and little by little by little, the seed of purity grows in your heart, and you're transformed and you're free. Now, notice The sower is Jesus himself. God's word. Every person who grows spiritually, there's a centrality of God's word. Do you remember Moses at the very end? He was giving his last sermon as they were going to go into the promised land and knew he wouldn't go. And he watched a group who rebelled, who wouldn't listen. Literally, are you ready for this? They took God's word and they threw it behind their back. They forgot his word. And he says at the end of Deuteronomy, take to your heart all the words with which I'm warning you today, for this is not an idle word, it is your life. Jesus, remember when he was tempted? How did he defend himself? It is written, it is written, it is written. He had memorized passages, and in spiritual battle, he took those passages, the rhema, the word of God spoken. The writer of Hebrews would say, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, it's spiritual disciplines and rhythms are not, you know, I read a chapter today, or I read my verse on YouVersion, or I read three chapters, I bet God loves me even more. It's a living, powerful word that has to be received in a heart in order to apply it. Jeremiah would say, thy words were found and I ate them. And notice the tense of the verb, and they became for me. They became for me. Their words were found and I ate them. And they became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Everywhere in Scripture you find this sacredness of the word of God to those Jews who had believed in him. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. The last thing Jesus prayed on his very last night, he said, Father, sanctify them, set them apart. It's a difficult world. They have their flesh, the enemy, and the world system. Set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. So all I want you to know as we start, I don't know your relationship to God's word. But what I can tell you is your relationship with God's word will determine your relationship with the Lord. The Spirit of God can live in your life, but the word is the fuel. And the fuel gets transmitted by a trusting moment of faith that responds in obedience. And as you take the step, you get power to live the life that he's called you to.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is called The Practice of Sacred Rhythms. If the burdens of life are pressing in and you need to make some changes, Sacred Rhythms will help you do that. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll learn how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that unlock a deeper, more satisfying relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, the series is a bit out of the norm for us. You were offered an opportunity to teach at a location that has a lot of meaning for you, and you really enjoyed getting the chance to kind of pass on some of the most significant things you've learned over the years. Tell us a little bit about what happened and what's ahead of us.
Sure, Dave. I do have to tell you, this was a very special opportunity. My son Ryan is a pastor here in the Silicon Valley, and it literally started as a little group, then a college ministry, and then it just kind of mushroomed. And he said, Dad, you know, I want you to come, and I'm going to do this series on sacred rhythms, and I just want you to come and share with them the rhythms of your life. You know, just the things you've done for years, and God's word, and prayer, and just what have you done over the years that allowed Christ to really be manifest in your life?
I want you to share that with the church, because we don't have many people your age in our church, which I took that as a left-handed compliment. But I had a blast doing this, and I just had such a sense that people wanted to grow and wanted to lean in and had amazing conversations. And so what I want you to know that, you know, in a world of distractions and a world of being bombarded by just noise and stuff and news, there is a way that we can become more and more like Christ, that those of us that long to be more patient, more kind, more generous, breaking some habits, sacred rhythms. We all have rhythms, but we're going to talk about the sacred rhythms that Jesus taught his followers then and now that allow room for God in our heart and our lives that make a real difference. And I think you're going to love this series. I hope you'll stay with us.
Thanks, Chip. Well, we're in for some great teaching over the next several days. And let me say that, as always, while the series is on the air, the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Well, now here's Chip with a couple of final thoughts.
As we close today's program and really just start this series, there's a passage that I shared that has been near and dear to me from Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became for me the joy and the delight of my heart. I love that little phrase, your word became for me. I have to tell you, reading the Bible on a regular basis did not come naturally to me. I had a hard time getting up. I had a difficult time disciplining myself. I had a hard time concentrating. But here's what I want to tell you. This is why this series is so important. A couple images come to my mind. The first image is one that builds up, and the other image is one that takes something away. And the first image is this: as I over time, okay, it's taken time and encouragement and accountability. As I have gotten in God's word, as I shared with the young people of this church over and over and over, it's been like a muscle. It's been so much like going to the gym, where at first you're sore, at first you don't like it, at first you don't want to go back, and then you see some progress, and then you get some hope, and then pretty soon it goes from duty to I can do it to a delight. And as you do that, it's not just the practice, but what happens is God begins to speak. Yes, a lot of the Bible I didn't understand. Believe it or not, there's a lot of it I still don't understand. But as I go into a rhythm of getting into God's word, I will tell you, it's radically changed my life. The second image is like an ocean current. You know how it comes in and wave after wave after wave. And, you know, the reason there's sand is those used to be rocks. And what happens is the power of those waves, they break things down. And left to myself, my heart gets hard. I'm bombarded by the world. And the word of God, it cleanses me and it reveals to me the hardness of my heart. And it shows me things that I don't want to be a part of me. But left to myself, those things will grow and develop and harden. And so what I want you to know is that we're going to talk about sacred rhythms. And the first and foremost is your relationship with the word of God. And we've got some great ways to help you dig in that we'll be sharing during this series. But here's what I want you to know. This series is an opportunity for you to evaluate the rhythms of your life and realign them around the rhythms that Jesus gave us so that you can become the kind of person you long to become.
Just before we close, I want to say thanks to those of you who are making a monthly donation to the Ministry of Living on the Edge. Your regular contributions free us to plan and make commitments we couldn't otherwise do. So you're making a huge difference helping other Christians live like Christians. If you're enjoying the benefits of Living on the Edge but aren't yet giving, would you prayerfully consider joining the team? You can set up a recurring donation by visiting our website, livingontheedge.org. Or by giving us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Thanks for doing whatever the Lord leads you to do. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.